Good morning, everyone. Would you turn with me, please, to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And there's another verse which I would like to read to you. There's no need for you to turn to it. It's taken from our Lord's walk with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us in the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? So there are two clauses there I would like you to note. While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we are told by the prophet that thy word was found and I did eat it. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Grant that it may be so this morning hour, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I would like to thank our dear sister for her lovely message and song. You know, we're very much blessed here at Bethany. We can share the abilities of these dear young folk, and we're very grateful, I especially. Now, this morning, I am going to speak to you very much on the same line as I did in August of last year. Perhaps some of you remember the text. They're exactly the same as I read then. Well, maybe some of you wonder if I couldn't find another sermon. It isn't quite as bad as all that. I feel that I have something to give you, and I'd like to add just a little to what I said the last time. You know, children can be very frank and not very complimentary. I taught at Sakagi School for many years, and we have a very nice thing at the school. Every evening at 5 o'clock, we have a little Bible reading, hymn singing, and a short message from the Word of God. And I used to enjoy talking to the children. I'd like to go back and do it again. But you know, after the message, one of the school teachers, a dear friend of ours, talked to a little girl, and she said to her, "What did Mr. Hess speak about?" And there was a pause, and then the little girl said, "I don't think Mr. Hess said very much about anything." Well, she was quite frank in expressing what she got out of it. Well, I hope we do a little bit better than that this morning. Now my theme is, as I said the last time, the most important thing in the life of a believer, and of course after he has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, is to walk with him. Well, all of you have heard many messages on this subject before, and from far better speakers. So I'm not apologizing for what I have to say, because the reason I'm giving this is because it was a help to me. And I'm going to add two other words. One of them is prayer, and the other word that I'm going to give you is walking with the Lord. Prayer and the reading of God's Word, the study of God's Word. Well, I'm sure you're as well aware as I am that there are shelves upon shelves of books on these two subjects. So what more can I give you than these other writers have given to others? Well, simply this, as I've already said, that we need to be reminded. And that is what I hope to do this morning. Just to remind you that these things are important. You know, some of us who have been missionaries realize the importance of these two words, perhaps more than other people do. And we've also seen the results and the effect in the lives of people who have learned to read God's Word and who have learned to pray. For just a moment, let me digress and mention one or two other things, two or some illustrations. You say, well, prayer, we all pray. We certainly do. But we don't pray enough. I attend the Chicagoland Missionaries Encounter, and for a while I wrote down the requests for prayer. And you know, the list became so long that it became a burden to try and pray for all of these items. I must confess that I've been a bit lax, but I shall still continue the practice, because that's why these missionaries mentioned these requests, so that we should pray about them. Well, as I've already said, we don't pray enough. Let me give you an illustration. A dear friend of ours, and I consider her to be one of the best missionaries that I have ever known, and of course, like a great many very faithful missionaries, you've probably never heard of her name. So this dear sister was at a conference, and she slept in the same big hut as a number of African women. And in the morning she was awakened by a noise. And when she became awake, wide enough awake to realize what it was, she realized that all of these ladies were praying. It was very early in the morning. Well, I must confess that I do pray in the morning, but I don't know that I always pray as these women prayed the moment I opened my eyes. But there they were. And a few years ago, a brother came up to me and he said, "What about so-and-so?" Referring to something that I had written to him in a letter. You know, I had to think hard for a moment. I'd forgotten. And you know, he'd been praying about this item all this time. Well, he was praying. He took it very seriously. And I did appreciate the fact that I had met one who had taken to heart every word that I had written to him. And then, not so very long ago, in fact, it was only a month or two ago, I was introduced to a dear lady. She said, "This is the first time I've met you, but I've prayed for you for over 40 years. That's something that cheered my heart. Think of that. Didn't even know her name, but she'd been praying for me in the work for all that time. She prayed. She knew how to pray. Well, let me give you another illustration, this time from the scriptures. You know, the Lord said to the disciples, and he was in agony. He said, "Could you not pray with me for 1 hour? Could you not pray with me for 1 hour?" And when you read that passage, you see the pathos in it. He knew, our Lord Jesus Christ knew what was coming. The disciples didn't know. We must excuse them. But they weren't praying with him. They were sleeping. Well, what was the result? The Lord Jesus Christ went alone to the cross. There was no one with him. No one could share what he was going to do. He knew that perfectly well. He wasn't blaming the disciples. He just asked them. Well, what was the result in the lives of the apostles? Shameful. They stood their ground for a few moments, and Peter did try to hit something with his sword, and then they all fled and left him alone. "Could you not pray with me for 1 hour?" Well, that is what the Word of God said. Now, as I've said before, I really have nothing new to give you, but we have to judge for ourselves. I've already said that I don't pray enough, and I've tried to remedy it. So may the Lord help all of us to do the same. Now those two disciples, as they walked down the road to Emmaus, and were joined by the Lord Jesus Christ, were helped. And they said it afterwards. "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us in the way," in that prayer. And the second thing they said was, "as he opened to us the scriptures." As he opened to us the scriptures. Now, I've never had a theological training. I'm sorry about that, because I have a great respect for those who set aside 2 or 3 years to gain an accurate knowledge of the Word of God. But I have, during the years, learned this, that the study of the Word of God must be a daily affair, and I'm sure that most of our theological friends realize the same thing. It simply must be a daily affair. And those disciples found that out for the first time. He opened to us the scriptures today. And it didn't end there, because, as we're well aware of the fact, they went on to learn more about him. Now the Word of God tells us this. Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." Yes, we know that. And there are several factors which border upon this. You remember those words, they are not in the scriptures. Sin will keep you from this book. This book will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. And that's precisely what happened to the Israelites. All through that long, dreary period of the judges and the kings, sin prevented them from receiving the full blessing of the Lord. Now the reason was, of course, that they put something else in place of the Word of God. And that's what the prodigal did. His father loved him. The prodigal knew that. But he didn't know how much the father loved him because he never took time enough to think about it. His thought was, I'm going off and have a really good time and make a name for myself with the money that's left. Well, he had the good time, but he didn't make much of his life, and he came back again. Then he realized how much the father loved him. The father didn't reproach him. The father didn't ask for an account of how he had spent his money. The father said, "Bring out the fatted calf, and let us rejoice, because my son, who is dead, is alive again." Yes. You see, the prodigal had to put some other thoughts into his head before life made any sense to him. And I'm glad to say that he came back. That's the important thing. And then you have this word, a very sad word. Occasionally it's mentioned in sermons. It is this: Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil word. Well, now earlier the apostle speaks of Demas as a faithful servant of Christ. Well, what happened? Well, somewhere along the line he stopped looking into the Word of God, and he began to think about the pleasures of this world. Not a hard thing for anyone to do. There are many pleasures in this world. The result was that Paul had to say, "Demas hath forsaken me." Those are sad words. The apostle needed every minister of the Word of God that he could find. Those were raised up, and he'd lost one of them because his thoughts were not on the Word of God, but on the pleasures of this world. Well, we have in the Scriptures this verse, which I've been thinking about a great deal. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things: for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The more I read those words, the more I realize how much I need God's Word. First of all, doctrine. I think I'm fairly secure there, and I thank the Lord for that, but it has come from the Word of God. And what about this little word, reproof? I'm often reproved as I read the Word of God. And I say to myself, "This is of myself, it is not of the Lord." You see, that's what the Word of God is supposed to do. And that's what David found out, and so many other of the Lord's servants, when they opened the Word of God: "This is not of me. It is of yourself." And correction. There are many times in my life when I've had to correct my ways. The Lord's helped me, and I've found it in God's Word. And I'm not finished with that process yet. There's a long way to go. But I'm thankful that I have His Word to help me. Then we have one more thing, and that's very important, and that is instruction. Instruction in the things of God, profitable, as we have said, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yes. Now, I'm not going to go on at length with this verse. We could preach many sermons on it, others could, but I just want to pass on now to the rest of this verse in Colossians. What happens then when we do these two things, when we pray and when we read God's Word? Well, we have two words that the Apostle Paul gives us, rooted and built up in Him. He uses that in Ephesians as well, those two illustrations, rooted. I'm a great lover of plant life and Africa didn't end that love. I love the things that God has created and I thank Him for them. But you all are well aware as I am that this little word rooted is all important. Yes. I haven't done very well with my indoor plants, largely because I don't spend much more time on them. But just the other day, one plant not doing very well, and so I gently tugged at it. It came right out in my hand. And there's no root. So how could the poor little plant live? Well, I pushed it down in again, hoping that it would revive, but there isn't time yet to see whether it has or not. No, rooted. And that's a very important thing, rooted in the things of God, how important that is, and how we look forward to our African believers being rooted in the things of God. You know, they get all caught up with all kinds of things. And especially when things like healing and one thing or another come in, they're almost carried away off their feet. But not those who have been rooted in the Word of God. Oh no. They realize that there's more in the Scriptures than just a perfunctory note on these subjects. Yes, rooted. Now the next illustration is built up. Built up. And I've often used this in Africa. You know, our African friends, and we love them very much, are very slow to adopt new ways. And a lot of the young folk who go to the mission field feel if only we could just show them how to do this and how to do that, everything would be fine. It certainly would. But get them to change. Yes, not so easy. They much prefer the old ways. And the early missionaries began to build houses of adobe, sun-dried brick. They're very substantial. Some of them are still in existence on Killeney Hill, and they were built over 75 years ago. I should have said some of the rooms. Well, were those copied? Yes, they were, but a good many years had to pass before our African friends adopted those ways. And so when you go into what is called a chihembe, that's a place where there used to be an African village, and you can tell that it was once a village. There are no houses there anymore. They've long since gone. The way the Africans built them gave the termites a great deal of pleasure because they soon destroyed it. But you can tell it was a village because the trees haven't grown yet. They're just saplings. Our African trees are very hard wood trees and they take a long time to grow. So you can't use that as an illustration. You can't say, well, your house is something which you should be proud of. It's built up and it's there to stay. No, we sometimes have to turn to other illustrations. Yes. Well, those are the two things which the Word of God has given to us as to what happens. Christians are rooted and they're built up. A few months ago, a dear friend of mine called Adam Ferguson passed away. And you know, one of the things in life which I had always hoped for was that I would be able to spend some time with him. He worked in Africa, but it was South Africa, and I worked in Central Africa. We never met in Africa. Well, then why did you want to spend some time with him? Because of his knowledge of the Word of God and because of his maturity. I consider him, as I look back today, as a great man of God. He would agree with that, but he wouldn't like the word great, but he wouldn't mind being called a man of God. And then once in Africa, I had the joy of talking to an old friend whose name was Kamangwamba, an old white-haired man. And I did have such a time of joy speaking to him about the Word of God. Just before I left, I gave him a little gift. He was a ministering brother. We never met again. The Lord took him. And how I wish I could tell you his story, but there isn't much time. But he was a man who was rooted in the Word of God. And he was a man who was built up. We all respected him as a man of God. Well, there are many who sat in these pews that I could mention as well, but there isn't time. There's just one more thing that I would like to mention to you, and that is this: abounding therein with thanksgiving. I have never met a mature Christian who wasn't a thankful one. Who wasn't a thankful one. You know, we live in an age when people don't like to say thank you. Sometimes see that on television. Sometimes we meet people who either reluctantly say thank you or don't say it at all. But that's the result. That's the end here. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. And by the way, that word abounding is an interesting one, according to the commentator. That's the word used when the multitude were fed by the Lord Jesus. And then they took up these baskets of the fragments that remained. And it does paint such a beautiful picture. No one could eat anymore. They just stuffed themselves, and I believe they had, and for good reason. People in those days, like our people in Africa, are not very well fed. No. But there, that's the word, abounding. There's so much. The Lord gave them so much. And all of that was left over, and they gathered it up, probably to give to some not very far away who were not so fortunate. Well, the Word of God has told us that we are to be thankful, and that's a mark of maturity. Thankful to Him for all He's done for us. Yes, I am thankful in the years of my life. I've realized more and more how much I owe to our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a little. Everything. And I'm very thankful for it. Well, here's what Peter has to say. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Yes, now those are positive words. So many of us have failed in one thing or another. And so many are going to fail. But Peter says, if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. And I'd like to conclude with that verse in Hebrews. Those who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. I am so thankful for the anchor which the Lord has given to me. And may He give you the same. And may He bless these few words to His honor and His glory, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We passed so many marvelous thoughts. We haven't said much about them. But we ask that You will bless each one here, that they may find more from these words than we have been able to give. Make us thankful, Lord. Help us to grow in the things of Yourself, that we may indeed be witnesses to Your goodness to us. Grant us, we pray, hearts full of praise for all that You have done for us. We give You thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.